All right, and we're back to talk a little bit more about Active Directory. We're into our final Active Directory component on a server, Active Directory Lightweight Directory Services. We're going to jump right in and get started. Module overview, ADLDS, implementing and administering, implementing replication, and comparing this to directory services or domain services, which is essentially the foundation for Lightweight Directory Services, or rather, the underlying directory itself is the foundation. How it works, administration tools. This is one, unlike some of the other ones where we have a single console that we can make all the changes we need to, there are a lot of tools to LDS that we're going to look at. What is the schema? And then we're going to install this and look at some of these tools. Hierarchical file-based directory store. You might remember some of this information from our Active Directory Domain Services module, only because Active Directory Lightweight Directory Services is the same underlying structure. Uses the extensible storage engine for file storage, just like Active Directory Domain Services. Can be accessed via LDAP, just like Active Directory Domain Services. And the store is organized into three partition types: config, schema, application. The configuration or the partitions are a little bit different in Active Directory Lightweight Directory Services than they are in ADDS. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we go through this course. Administration tools. The Active Directory Lightweight Directory Services wizard we're going to use to do our creation of a new instance after our initial install. That's pretty much it. It's the only thing we use that wizard for. ADSI Edit is a means of modifying and viewing data. If you have used domain services in the past, you may have used ADSI Edit. We'll take a look at it regardless. LDP, creating application partition instances, modifying data and viewing data. We're going to do some of this, but we're not going to use this tool in this particular course. LDIFD, as some people call it, LDIFDE, or CSVDE, importing and exporting of data using pre-built files. DSACLS, I don't know who remembers the conversation we had back in the domain services module about ACLs, access control lists, discretionary access control lists, and system access control lists. But these are used here to view and set permissions on the directory service itself. Atom Sync, used to synchronize an instance of ADDS to LDS. This is potentially a highly valuable tool in that it does exactly what it says. You can take a copy, a snapshot of your Active Directory domain services directory and use it. And the AD schema analyzer, used in migrating the AD schema to Atom. This, again, says Atom. It's Active Directory LDS, Lightweight Directory Services. It's another way to make a copy or copy the foundation, in this case, the schema, of your Active Directory Domain Services instance to Active Directory Lightweight Directory Services. What is the schema? The schema for ADLDS is the same thing that it was for Active Directory Domain Services. It defines the types of objects and the data that can be created and stored in an instance using object classes and attributes. So it defines what the objects are, and it defines the attributes about them. In this case, we have on the slide some examples. The schema partition, definition for an automobile object class, definition for a user object class. In the application partition, we're actually going to get objects based on those classes, the automobile or the user class. Installing ADLDS, we're going to jump to our demo environment, and we're going to do that very thing. All right, we're in our demo environment. We're going to open Server Manager, and we're going to go ahead and install Active Directory Lightweight Directory Services. So once again, add roles and features. Our growing list over here on the left of the roles we've installed so far in this series. Next, role-based. This server is the one we want. Server roles. Active Directory Lightweight Directory Services. There are, again, required features. We're going to add them. We're not going to add anything additional. It's going to give us a recap of what this is and what it does, and we install. This one, again, does not take much time. The Active Directory roles in server install relatively quickly. None of them are making terribly intense changes to the domain itself or the server that you're installing on. So that one's done. Takes that little time. Now we do instantly get some errors down here. We'll disregard those. That's just because we just did the install. Once again, a flag. We have post-deployment steps. We're going to hold off on this, and we're going to come back to it in a few minutes. So we've done the install. Now we're on to next steps. Implementing and administering LDS. So we've installed it. Console's done. What do we do with it? What is an instance? What is an application partition? We're going to do a little demo. Again, we're going to look at ADLDS itself, LDS users and groups, and how does access control work? An instance is a running copy of the service that contains its own communication interface and directory store. I'm trying to think of the best way to explain that. The reason we say instance in this case, I can install multiple instances of ADLDS on a single server. This is very similar to SQL Server, where I can have one physical server running multiple discrete instances of SQL, individual databases, individually administered, and containing information on their own. ADLDS is no different. A single instance on this slide provides the directory service itself, as well as the interface, LDAP and replication, and then the directory data store. You can see the file name right here, admntds.nit. Again, the internal structure is very similar to Active Directory, but the file name is different and the location is also different. And then it says here, the directory store has its own copy of the three partitions. Every instance of ADLDS is going to have those three partitions. The application partition, so we've talked about other partitions before, configuration and schema. We talked about those in the domain services module. Now we're going to talk about this particular two ADLDS partition. The application partition holds the data that is used by the application. Multiple application directory partitions can be created in an instance. However, each partition would share a single set of config and schema partitions. This is really where ADLDS has a role, why it exists. We're going to use ADLDS as we would use domain services, but for a particular application. We don't want to extend our domain with additional schema, objects, and attributes to accommodate an application, or the application may merely want to use the directory services because of its already built-in functionality that the reason we use it for domain services, but again, without impeding on that actual store information. These application partitions are where those applications store their information. Now that we've done our install, we're going to jump in real quick. We're going to do our initial configuration. In this case, it says we're going to install or configure an instance on a computer already running one. I haven't done the initial config yet, so we're going to do that and then do a second one. So we're in Server Manager. Once again, we get our flag letting us know that we need to configure more information. Active Directory Lightweight Directory Services Setup Wizard. We're going to set up a unique instance. We don't already have an existing one to create a replica of. Instance 1, we're just going to use the defaults. That's perfectly fine for this example. And a description. As you can see down here at the bottom, I'll jump back real quick. Service display name and the service name down here at the bottom. We may need these, or you may need these after you've installed this for the sake of connecting an application to this instance. Port numbers. So this is a little bit of a remnant from a prior module. Ordinarily, this window would show you the default LDAP ports, Lightweight Directory Access Protocol, 389 and 636 for unsecured and secured connections. But because this server was upgraded to a domain controller as part of a previous module and it continues to be a domain controller, this software has detected that and has automatically given me alternative LDAP numbers because the port numbers that would normally be defaulted are in use by Active Directory Domain Services. That's also explained up here. If you plan to install DS on this computer, do not use those ports. You can use any other ports between 1025 and 65535, any of the non-reserved or non-well-known TCP ports. I'm not going to create an application directory partition in this case. I'm just going to create a basic ADLDS instance that mimics, say, an Active Directory Domain Services instance. The locations to store files, these are the defaults. It is in program files. You can change these. Network service account is fine for, again, for the sake of this demo. to perform operations using the permissions associated, has the permissions of the default Windows Service account. Administrators, it's going to add me since I'm the one doing the install. I can also select other accounts, different accounts to be the administrators of this instance. And we'll look at what this looks like inside of ADLDS once it's installed. This is an interesting slide. We haven't really talked about LDIF files. We did talk a little bit about LDIF-DE, the tool that we can use to import and export information into and out of these directory stores. What this lets us do is it pre-creates schema objects, classes, and attributes for different functions that we might use ADLDS for. Atom Sync, we saw in our list of tools, is used to synchronize Active Directory domain services and ADLDS. It essentially makes a copy of your domain services and puts it into LDS. I'm going to click that in case that's something we want to do in the future. ADLDS display specifiers required for snap-in operation. Well, obviously we want the snap-ins to work, so we're going to check that one. AZMAN is the authorization manager built into Microsoft Windows. We're not going to worry about that right now. Nor are we going to worry about inet.org person, but this is useful if you are using ADLDS as a directory store for an application that uses the X500 standard person or user type. That's this inet.org person. We talked about that in the domain services module as well. We do want MS user, and I think that's all I'm going to select for now. Gives me a recap of what's going on. And next. This should not take long at all. Creates the instance, starts the instance. It's now importing those files I asked it to import. And once that's done, we'll be able to actually get in and take a look at this Active Directory domain or Active Directory Lightweight Directory Services instance. Done. Now there are tools to get into this instance. However, there's not the normal tool you would see here. Really, there's not a normal console like we're used to. If we go to Tools, there's a Lightweight Directory Services setup wizard. As we saw in the deck, it talks about creating new instances. That's all this is good for. There is no additional tool. So we have to use ADSI Edit, which can, as a side note, also be used to manage, modify, take a look at your Active Directory domain services. Right click, connect to. All of this is set up for Active Directory. It's set up for domain services. We want to change that. We're going to change this to LDS, ADLDS instance 1. Now I'm going to specify which server I want to log into. Now, because this is a domain controller, which may not normally be the case, this option at the bottom where it says default, I have to change because we're not connecting to the default ports. If we do that, it's going to bring up Active Directory domain services. So we're going to put in this server, which is the normal server name. This was already in the box, but we're going to customize the port. Default naming context is 1. We're actually going to jump into schema. It is going to change my name. That's fine. And click OK. So this connects me because I use that custom port to my Active Directory Lightweight Directory Services instance on this server and shows me the schema. These are all the schema options. And because I selected those, the LDIF files that I did earlier, the objects and attributes defined in here were brought in by those files. So you're going to see a lot of familiar objects, potentially. User, Windows user. Passwords, parameters, created and changed. These are all ADDS objects and attributes. I'm also going to connect to the configuration partition. Same deal, we're going to have to type in a custom string. Just for the sake of demonstration, I'm going to change the 50,000 to 50,001 and use SSL. And we're going to connect to the configuration partition this time. We'll see if it lets me get away with that in this demo. No, we'll take that out. And not use SSL. And connect to the configuration partition. This, again, if you're familiar with Active Directory Domain Services, will look familiar. There are a couple of differences. We don't have a users container. We do have a roles container. And inside of there, we have these different groups. Administrators and users. So now that we've done that, we've got the instance installed, we've got it configured, we've looked at those partitions in ADSI Edit, we are going to do what the demo called for and create another instance on this server. This is where I come back to the setup wizard. Another unique instance. Instance 2. It knows I already have an instance running on this server. ADLDS instance is fine. It's going to change my port numbers for me automatically. Also fine with the defaults. This is where I'm going to differ just a little bit. We're going to create an application directory partition this time. Select this option if an application that you plan to install does not create the partition itself. There are applications, most applications, that are using ADLDS, especially with the need for an application directory partition that will create it when you install them. A valid name is any distinguished name that does not already exist. So the partition name we have in here, I'm going to go ahead and give this a valid partition name, as long as I know how to type, which apparently I don't. Again, our file locations, which we can change. Network service account is just fine. Currently logged on user as an administrator is handy in this case. I'm going to leave these out this time so we can get a look at what this looks like out of the box without the LDIF files imported. And we'll let it run. And that's finished. We're once again going to open up ADSI Edit. We still have our containers from the prior connection in here. That's absolutely fine. We're going to add some additional ones. In this case, schema. Once again, we have to type the server name out. And I need to specify my custom port, 5002. Now remember, we didn't import some of the LDIF files that define attributes and objects that exist elsewhere. We didn't install the MS user or import the MS user LDIF file. You'll notice there is no CN equals user. There are some others in here, user password, user principal name. These are some of the standard fields for X500 directories. We're also going to connect to the configuration. And we can look at this. This looks much like the last one. We've got our roles with our groups. Now, in this instance, I am going to make one more change. Connect to. Not only are we going to specify the server, but I'm going to specify a naming context. Oh, it named it schema because that was where I already was. So unfortunately, I forgot to rename that one, and that's the name I have. This one much emptier. There's not much here. Our roles are here, administrators, readers, and users. There's a lost and found and an NTDS quotas. This is largely empty because Active Directory Lightweight Directory Services is going to rely on the application to populate this partition. Given that, we've now seen two different instances on the same server. You can see our custom ports. We've got multiple different partitions within those different instances, including an application partition, despite the fact I did not name it correctly when I created it. And that is it for that demo. I'm going to go ahead and jump out of here. ADLDS users and groups. We did look at the roles container. That container contained four groups, administrators, readers, users, and instances as defined here. Configuration partition ADLDS administrators that are assigned during setup. We saw that screen as we ran through that setup wizard a number of times. Application partitions, the administrators group from the config partition is put into the administrators group in an application partition. And our default access, full access to all partitions. Readers, none. Read access to the partition, that's it. We're talking about default members. Users, config partition, transitively all ADLDS users. So that's going to be a group in AD domain services that's brought over. And application partition, transitively, again, all ADLDS users that are created in the application partition via whatever application is doing that work. But there is no default access for just users. You have to specify that. Or in most cases, the application is going to specify that. And then instances role, config partition of all instances. Those are your default members. Access control. So given these roles, we have these roles that we can put these people into or are in them by default. Access control authenticates the identity of users requesting access to the directory, allowing only successfully authenticated users into the directory. Now, this is the same as any access control. This is what it's for. It's to make sure that the right people or the right entities are getting the right access to the right information. Uses security descriptors called access control lists, with which we're familiar, given our Active Directory Domain Services module, on directory objects to determine which objects an authenticated user can access. Again, most of what you're seeing here, most of the information described here, the users, the roles, the groups, it's going to be controlled by the applications using ADLDS as a directory store, not something you'll usually see as an administrator having to go in and modify by hand. Replication, this is one of the big reasons that ADLDS is a chosen tool. As I mentioned before, you use this when you want to take advantage of the features of Active Directory Domain Services or the X500 directory service standard and not put the burden of schema extending or administrative overhead on your actual domain services instance and the increased risk that comes along with it. ADLDS replication is multi-master, very similar to Active Directory Domain Services. It allows me, when I implement a new Active Directory LDS server, to tell it that it's going to be part of not a farm, but it's essentially the same kind of idea. I have a number of servers all connected as replicas to allow for a multitude of high availability or fault-tolerant reasons. Changes can be made to any instance, and they are replicated across all the instances. Again, very similar to Active Directory Domain Services. They're installed in what's called a configuration set, and that's only done when you're installing the instance of ADLDS on a server. Why implement replication? The reasons are relatively simple. They're relatively clear, but we do call it out specifically. High availability, more than one server, means if you lose a server, more servers are available. Load balancing, if you have a very intense usage application, load balancing is going to make sure that you're not overwhelming any one of your LDS servers with requests for access by users or by the application. And geographic limitations, if I want to distribute ADLDS instances across different geographic locations, again, the same as Active Directory Domain Services, I can put domain controllers and or global catalog servers in multiple geographically dispersed locations to allow for just better performance. Comparing the two, since we've been pretty much doing that the last couple of slides, it's a nice segue into just looking at a list of the similarities and the differences. What's the same? LDAP connections. Not necessarily LDAP ports. It's the same protocol, but we can specify the ports we want to use given what server we're on, what instance we're using, and if the host server is or is not a domain controller already. Multi-master replication, we just covered. Support delegated administration. I can allow other administrators in my organization the permissions and the rights to manage these instances without me necessarily having to be involved. Uses the extensible storage engine for the database store. They both do that, both Active Directory Domain Services and Active Directory Lightweight Directory Services. And as a bonus for a little bit extra information, also Exchange uses the extensible storage engine. Specific differences, now that we've looked at the similarities. Capable of multiple instances running on one server. LDS can do that, domain services cannot. Non-domain controllers, lightweight directory services can. Domain services, as soon as you've installed and configured ADDS, it becomes a domain controller. Does not require DNS infrastructure, LDS does not. ADDS does require DNS to function at its most base levels. However, Active Directory Domain Services allows for additional functionality. It's not within the directory itself necessarily, but it is additional functionality. Group policy, global catalogs, Kerberos V5 authentication, full-featured administrator tools. We've already seen LDS has its own set of, its own disparate set of tools, a number of different tools for managing different aspects, and automatic failover of services in case of a failure. Integrating the two, we talked early on about the LDIF file that can be used to create a copy of your Active Directory domain services and put it into an Active Directory lightweight directory services instance. Prepare the schema for synchronization. Prepare the configuration for Atom Sync. This was the tool we talked about earlier. And run it. What this does is it creates, again, a copy of your Active Directory domain services directory in ADLDS. Now, that may be done for a number of reasons. If you want to manipulate essentially what is your Active Directory domain services for testing purposes, for research purposes, for development purposes, you can do that. You can use it as a basis for that. If you actually have an application that wants to use Active Directory domain services, but it wants to use the content, it doesn't actually need that directory, ADLDS may be used. In fact, there are pieces of Microsoft software that enable this functionality, that take advantage of this functionality. That pretty much sums up Active Directory lightweight directory services. There's not, again, a lot to this one. You create your instances, you configure them to the extent you need to, and your applications take advantage. Most of the time, applications that use ADLDS will do most of the heavy lifting themselves, and you'll never be involved. I think that pretty much wraps up this module, so thank you for watching this one, and stay tuned for the next module in Active Directory and Azure services, and we'll see you later.